Welcome to Stories of InfoSec Journeys podcast. I'm Shruti Kamath, your podcast host. In case you're new here, I would highly recommend you listen to the introduction episode. And to others, welcome back and thank you so much for your support. Also, if you haven't given the podcast a follow on the social media yet, go show some support by following us on Instagram, Facebook and LinkedIn at Stories of InfoSec Journeys and on Twitter at InfoSec Journeys. Today with us, we have Pons Arun, who's a Director of Products at Citrix. He's a cyber defense evangelist with more than 20 years of experience in cybersecurity and a speaker at various security forums. Prior to Citrix, he has held global product leadership position at Cisco and Oracle. Welcome to the podcast, Pons. Thank you so much for being here. I'm like really glad to have you here. So in your own words, can you introduce yourself to our listeners?
Sure. Being one of the active follower of all your, the journey talks, thanks for the opportunity today. So I would say I'm one of the gifted person, who got opportunity to solve customers' cybersecurity challenges as a business risk. When I'm talking about solving the cybersecurity challenges, typically it talks about, understand the C-level executives, right? Basically the CISO level executives' current security posture challenges. Like we often hear throughout our career, right? Understanding the problem itself takes a lot of energy. And if you don't spend cycles to understand the problem, whatever you do with the great and great technologies, it's not going to help. That's the reason I proudly say that I got opportunity to understand their current pain point, which is nothing but what's their current security posture and help them to reach their desired target state, right? That's very important. And the second part of my, thing, which I'm quite passionate is about the collective defense, right? When I'm talking about the collective defense, it's about continuously sharing the knowledge like the way you do with this TED Talk across the international cyber communities. It's again for the sake of sharing my knowledge and validate my learnings as well, right? I always used to take the example like when the hackers could do collective affronts by sharing the information in dark web-like forums, we as a cyber defense guy should do the collective defense. It's important. On that front, I share a lot of my knowledge in the international cyber forums, and I'm part of a board of studies in a couple of universities in India to help them define the curriculum for masters and UG, and also help their professors to come up to the speed on the industry stuff. That's how I narrate myself.
Thank you so much for that lovely introduction. I think with that, you should also, tell our listeners what was that introduced you to InfoSec industry and what has been your journey like so far?
Sure. That's very interesting, right? Like many of us, I completed my engineering. And again, I would say I got a very good opportunity to start my career in Unix internals and the Unix security, right? I'm talking about around 25 years back. These kind of stuff typically used to be managed by well-experienced geek those days, right? But thanks to my first mentor and manager, Nirmala ma'am and TMN sir, and for the kind of a confidence they had in me, and I just came out of a college and I would say that, just passed out of a college in a tier two city. And I still remember my early days where I couldn't even speak fluently in English, right? I could remember those days. So that's the reason I always, I'm always thankful to my first manager and the mentors. And the second part of my journey, like I always had appetite for the why part, right? Because why these guys are asking me to build these kind of a solutions. So that's where I made a career shift from a typical software development to a, the product management, which typically deals with the why part of the story, right? So that's where my entire introduction to cybersecurity journey and mostly around the problem space. That's what making me to get passionate and fulfilled on a day.
So looking back, right, how does it feel?
Still, and when I use the word fulfillment, right, really I like the, the why part of the equation for a simple reason. You can understand why someone is asking you about a particular problem. And I completely agree, right? We always talks about, I built a great technologies and great product. It's easy to say from a resume perspective, or it's easy to say that I'm always up to date, but unless it really solves the hunger or appetite for a particular person, it's of no use, right? I always used to pick up this example with my kids. I'm saying like, I'm damn hungry. You are giving me an Indian biryani, but without asking me whether I have a health problems, right? Let's say if I have ulcer, what's the use of having your biryani? What I need is a curd rice. right? So that's where I'm saying, like, you know, instead of mixing up too much of technology gyans, we should be very clear on what's the problem, why someone is talking about it, why there is a problem, right? That's very important.
Yeah, I think it's a very important thing, trying to actually understand the problem statement. Even I recently learned about it, that whenever you have to approach something, going with the understanding of what the problem statement is or what is that you're trying to solve. So with that approach, you can actually solve a lot more than just trying to like solve the problem that is at place and without really understanding what is the problem, why we have to solve this problem. So right. I absolutely agree with you on that.
And to answer your other question, look back as an individual. Yes, I agree. Typically, in a what and how space, right, you could visualize what's happening, right? For example, if you build an architecture or if you build a solution, you should be able to visualize. But the why part is like abstracted. It's like a dark world, right? It's like, you know, someone pushing you in a dark room and you have to figure out where's the switch and whether you still can survive. I agree. But like I rightly mentioned, I feel like I'm quite passionate about that abstracted world or the why, so that, you know, we can find a solution, right? So I agree. It again depends on your individual personality and the interest, right?
So it's more like your source of motivation to keep going.
That's right. That's right. And coincidentally, the cyber world is always about abstract. No one is going to tell you like tomorrow I'm going to use this specific TTP to, exploit your network. And this is a particular mechanism I'm going to use to attack your environment for extortion, right? That's not a case, right? So that's where it goes well, in my opinion.
True. Agreed. Agreed. All right. So I think with that, right, you should also tell our listeners about what has been some of the learnings and challenges that you faced while working in this industry. And also, since you mentioned that, you know, about the product management and learning about the problem statement, maybe you should touch up upon that as well a little bit.
Sure. There are two things I would like to highlight as a challenge and the learnings throughout my journey. First one, often I see like folks are too obsessed with the latest and greatest technologies, right? While we are doing it, we completely ignore the basics like a least privileges, right? Most importantly, principle of least privileges, we always talk about it. I'll give you again a layman example, right? Having a handful of solid locks, right? You can have a Godrej and a couple of solid locks in your door. And then what you're doing is you're going to give the keys to everyone in your apartment or society. Right. It's like, what's the use? Irrespective of the nature of the locks or the security controls you have for your assets, if you don't follow the security basics like least privileges, it's not going to serve the purpose. Right? Again, I'm not saying that the technologies are not useful. Rather, what I'm saying is try to spend time to understand the why part. That's very important. And another aspect on the same, obsession with the latest technologies, though, you know, we as a security folks, like we always give a gyan about layers of defense, right? Right. I agree. I respect that. But nowhere it says like you go ahead and dump the security gears without the purpose or the need. Understand the why, right? Understand why we need the particular security gear is very important, right? Again, I'll pick up my own life lesson, right? In villages, we don't have a habit of closing the doors. That's how we grow up, right? In the same villages, if you go and try to sell a CCTV, I'm sure like you might get a different response from the folks. But sitting in Bangalore, the kind of a response that you get even for a CCTV or the small locks, it's different, right? The small security gears is different, right? That's the first part. My summary on this specific dimension, technology is important, but don't be too obsessed with the technologies unless you have a clear idea about why we need that particular technology. That's the first part. Second part, lack of system view, right? When I talk about the system view, we all in the security space, we always talk about the pointed products, right? Again, I would take the example. So lack of system view is all about you're going to a doctor and he's going to practice the medicine just based on the anatomy, right? The nose, eyes, and the head. But that's not going to help you. What you need, what you expect the physician is to have the physiology, right? Which is the knowledge, unless the doctor is able to correlate the knowledge of the entire human body, you will fail. That's the same thing applicable even in our cyberspace. It is not about just applying random pointed products and then trying to scratch your head, right? That's not going to work. What you need is the ability to understand the entire system view and then recommend a solution. That's what I would say. These are my two learnings. Hope that helps you.
Yes, yes. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. You mentioned you started like 25 years ago, right? So that's a long time. So have you had mentors, and what is your advice for folks who are seeking out mentors?
Sure. I remember my friend Shyam's conversation in your podcast, I think Jan, I believe.
Yes. Right?
Like you rightly mentioned, it's always good to have the mentor so that you know, again, when I'm talking about the dark room, it's good to have some guidance, right? That's always good. But at the same time, make sure that you have a, connections, and maybe in the LinkedIn or Twitter or whatever, maybe the social media, follow the folks who are passionate about security. When I say passionate about security, it's not about the titles and the roles and the responsibilities they have in their corporates, right? That's not what I'm talking about. Follow the people who are passionate about cybersecurity. That's very important. And the second thing, what I would say, again, I would quote Shyam's note in the Jan conversation, you figure out what really resonates with you. There are a number of things in the cyber world, right? When you talk to the college grads these days, you know, hacking always comes up. But if you really ask me, cybersecurity is not about just hacking. Cybersecurity is not meant for, creating a harm for another network or a digital infrastructure. That's absolutely a wrong way of looking at cybersecurity, right? In a simple way, cybersecurity, it's all about, in a simple layman language, it's all about reduce the uncertainties. Simple way, reduce the uncertainties. That's the key objective of the cybersecurity tools and technologies and strategies, right? So understand what's your passion. Could be defense, could be offensive way of understanding how someone can exploit your environment, right? That's adversarial way of looking at the environment. That's one. Other way could be looking at it from a business risk standpoint, right? For example, when you're talking to your executives, they may not understand the nuances of the cybersecurity. Rather, they can understand the loss that they end up like going through if they don't act on your recommendations, right? That's the risk view. And the other view could be the typical pen testing, right? You should be able to assess like what are the vulnerabilities, right? These are the multiple ways. And back to your point, having a mentor will help you to align your thought process with what are the other ways you can excel in your cyber career, right? That's very important. And I would say I am fortunate to have a lot of mentors throughout my journey, and a lot of folks even till now, because I'm a big believer of learning. Even today I have mentors, but I don't want to miss someone while I'm talking about a couple of them, right? That might hurt them. So I would say thanks to all my mentors and thanks for all patience. And other aspect, like when you have a mentor, feel free to ask any dumb questions. I remember my first conversation, I asked like, what do you mean by threat? What do you mean by attack? What's the difference? Because have a strong understanding of the basics is very important. Again, I would connect back to my earlier note. Don't jump onto the latest and greatest stuff. Like I'm going to do the malware re-engineering, without understand the basics of security, right? That's what I would suggest.
Yeah, I know. I agree with you. I think the word hacking has so much fascination that people just want to jump into it without really understanding what you have to really do here. And I think I really like what you said about it's really about making sure of reducing the uncertainties. Like, I know that kind of has been like the key or the goal, right? But when you mentioned it is when I'm like, oh, yeah, that's actually one way of looking at it. Right. So thank you so much for sharing that. That's a very lovely advice, I would tell. All right. So from what I understand, you have been in the leadership role for a while now, right? So what has been your experience of being in the leadership role, and what is your advice on, how to create a leadership presence?
Sure. That's a very interesting question, right? In our initial career, we often think about the how and what part, right? But being in a cybersecurity leadership role, in my perspective, it's all about the why. On the other day, I was responding to a LinkedIn post where I asked the fellow folks like the CISO, the S is meant for strategy or security, right? So I always have that question. It's in my perspective, it's all about strategy. So it's all about having a leadership, right? So from that perspective, the value add that we can provide for our executives is all about, like I mentioned before, help them understand the current security exposure, right? The great value add from a cybersecurity guy, if he really wants to establish a leadership presence, is all about help the customers to understand the stuff that they don't know so far. meaning help them to understand the problem that they are going through in their cyber risk posture at this moment. I'm talking about a current problem, right? And then help them to understand what should be the ideal target state that they should aim for, and then recommend them what it takes. That's the last step, right? It's not about just selling the product, right? And then being in the cybersecurity, I am a big believer of money value of time, right? That's very important. Each and every problem that we need needs immediate attention. That's the reason I use the word money value of time, which is very critical, because we need to know what to act on it and when to act on it. That's very important. That's basically the first part. Second part of your question, like you asked a very good question, like what it takes to establish the leadership presence. I always say that, you know, establishing credibility is very important. Who you are. Again, don't mix up like, you know, I'm a director, VP, or I'm a head, or what are the designations you have in your corporate, right? That won't help, in my personal opinion. It's all about establishing the credibility as a security thought leader, which is very important. I'll give you again a layman example, right? Do you ever willing to share your health records with someone whom you don't trust them as a medical practitioner? You won't do. First, if I ask you, like, can you share your, the annual health report? What do you say? Who are you? What's the use, right? How you can help me, right? So first thing, what you need, I should establish as a credible healthcare player, then only you will at least think about sharing your health records with me, right? That's very important. That's the reason I'm saying establish the credibility. That's very important in this space. That's one. Second aspect on your question, like we always mix up between personal branding and the self-promotion. Both are two different things, right? So I would always suggest spend cycles to establish the personal branding. It's all about the thought leadership, right? That's very important. How do you do? I have a couple of suggestions. Maybe it works for most of us, right? One, showcase how your thoughts can help the other side, basically audience, to understand a completely different perspective of the current problem, right? That's very important. Trust me, help someone to understand the problem of their current problem is very important, because you have a different thoughts and the perspective. Second thing, showcase your value as an individual and don't mix up with your organizational brand. That won't help you in the long run. And when I'm talking about organizational brand, your title and the roles, that's like a second. Make sure that you showcase your value as an individual. Rest will follow you, right? Third, be unique in your thoughts, right? You don't need to follow like a crowd. I know it might be orthogonal to what others are saying. You don't need to go with your flow. Have your thoughts, not necessarily be right? No one can give you assurance like this is the one TTP someone will use to to orchestrate a ransomware attack against your organization. No, whatever you are reading in the articles and whatever you are listening from others, it's all based on what people observed as on yesterday. Because tomorrow's attacks is not going to be same as yesterday. That's the reason I'm saying be unique in your thoughts and be open for the feedback. Then only you learn. Last but not the least, be defensible in your thoughts. Right? Don't just throw the feedback, right? Be defensible. And then I would always add like speak in your own voice. When I'm talking about speak in your own voice, have a conversation which can help the audience, right? For example, you don't need to have a fancy slides. Take a piece of paper, take a pencil, and you should be able to understand the problem and empathize with the audience. That's very important to establish your, you know, credibility. I know it's a long list. If I may summarize, establishing your credibility as a personal, as an individual is very, very important for a leadership presence. That should be.
I have to tell, I am so mind blown by this answer. This is by far probably like one of the best I've listened to. So thank you so much. I mean, I know you must have seen me like smiling the whole time you were sharing it. I could totally like relate or probably understand what you were explaining. So that was some amazing advice, I would say. Thank you so much for sharing that. That's going to be really helpful for me, and I'm pretty sure for my listeners as well. So thanks again. All right. So with that, right, I do want to ask you, like, what has been some of the communities that you have been associated with, and if you could share a little bit about them and what is that you love about them, right?
Very, very interesting question, because we should always have opportunity to learn from others, right? First thing I would say, make sure that you associate yourself with the local ISC Squared chapter. I'm part of ISC Squared chapter, and I always learn from them. because you have a lot of folks who share their thoughts and what's their thought process. That's very much interesting. Second thing, maybe because I'm in the cyber leadership role, I'm associated with a lot of CISO circles where I help them to understand the the strategy nuances and also learn from them. That's very important. And the third one, I always learn from others' journey. That's the reason, when I reach out to you first time, is there a way for me to contribute? That's because when I started my career, I had a tough time to understand, how do I get into this space, right? So that's the reason I would always say that, follow this specific, the cyber journey community really helps, because it helps you to understand from others' journey. Like the way I rightly mentioned, when I started my career, I didn't even know how to speak English. Right, I'm pretty open now, right? But now, when I look back, at least I'm part of a couple of international forums where I'm talking about cybersecurity. That for sure it is. It's going to be a good information for someone who are a little skeptical about how to go about, right? So that's the reason I would say learn from others' journey. Nothing wrong. Be open. What's wrong, right? That's my suggestion. Yeah, these are the top three. I follow tons of other communities, but these are my top three, if you will.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad to know that you've been a regular listener of my podcast. And just to add to what you said, right? So that was actually one of the reasons why I really wanted to start this, because I knew that storytelling usually is very impactful for people who love listening to journeys or stories. Because when you do that, right, so the person who's sharing their story is also getting a chance to look back on their journey, and that'll definitely make them feel good and also tell others, what is that you shouldn't do or what is that you could do, so that the others who are trying to get to know about them will not repeat the same things. And that's at the right. same time, for someone who's a newbie, who has no clue about how to go about this thing, right? So for them, it'll also be like a way to learn from other people's journey. So that way, it's kind of a win-win situation on both ways. So I thought, why not just turn it into a podcast and get people to come on and talk about it? So
very, very good effort. Yeah, definitely very good efforts for the folks like me who started way back. We were struggling, trust me. I'm not trying to please you, rather, I'm just telling you my frank opinion. People need to learn from others' experience. Of course, you don't need to just follow what I'm saying, right? Rather, really out of this, whatever the X minutes, you learn something out of it, right? That's how, still, I believe I'm learning from the other speakers and getting a lot of inputs from the talks. It really helps.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So with that, right, now that you mentioned so many things that you have been doing and you have learned, I know you kind of mentioned this earlier, but what has been your source of motivation that keeps you going?
Yeah, being a human, we should always empathize, right? If you again connect the dots with your customers, customer empathy, that's what truly helps you to understand the problem space. I know throughout my conversation, I'm keep giving you yarn about the problem space, not because I'm playing a role of a product manager, but I would say understanding the problem helps a lot to, truly help. Let me rephrase. If you truly want to help the customers, you should spend a lot of time to understand the problem, right? And again, if I may take a layman example, if you go to the doctor, what you would expect? You would expect the doctor to understand your problem and empathize you before he prescribes you something, right? And if you go to the doctor and if he don't listen to you and if he don't ask you and giving you some prescription, irrespective of whatever the technology he used, I'm pretty sure you won't trust him, right? So that's the reason I'm saying empathize your audience, empathize your customers. That helps you to learn. That's what I would always say, not about helping the customer. First, helps you to understand your own thoughts and rephrase your thought process. And then sharing the knowledge is very important. When you say sharing your knowledge, it helps in two ways. One, you're helping others. Second thing, you can validate your own thought process. And the third thing, it helps you to learn more. So again, customer sympathy and continue to share your learnings with others. That's what I would say. These are my motivational aspects.
All right. About the whole customer empathy. So that actually is something that I have to also consciously is something that I learned that I have to do when it comes to doing my job on a day-to-day basis. Trying to understand what the customer really needs and how to ensure that, they are happy with what you do. Or if they are not happy, trying to understand what is that went wrong or what is that we could have done better to have avoided that in the first place, right? So I think I've gotten a little extensive learning of what it is being customer empathetic. And yeah, I think I agree with you on that. So with that, I think I have the last question that I want to ask before we end this podcast episode is, what is your advice for people starting out and for people in the security industry?
Sure. Maybe I'll summarize what we spoke so far, right? First thing, before spending any efforts to learn about great cyber geek technologies, spend time to analyze the problems in a system view, in a systematic way, right? That's very important, right? In my own opinion, that's not something you can learn just out of the college, because most of the time we learn about the concepts and how to build the products and things like that, but very little time we spend to understand the systemic way of the problem. That's very important, in my opinion. That's one. Second thing, spend enough time to strengthen your own understanding of the basics, meaning why there is the existence of a cybersecurity. Why should I secure? What's the risk of not securing this particular thing? Why someone requires a security, right? It's all about the basics, right? Very basic. Third thing, continuous learning. Don't ever feel like I learned it and sit back and relax, right? And then in my opinion, cybersecurity is not a space for you. It might be a pretty attractive space as we speak now, unlike the days where I started my career, but that's not a space for you. You should be able to learn, and then validate your learning with other fellows. That's very important.
All right. Anything specifically for folks in the industry, or it's like the same for both of them?
Yeah, for anyone, I would say, even folks in the industry and the folks who are just coming out of the college, these are very important. Strengthen your basics, irrespective of the number of years of experience you are in the space, strengthen your basics. And if you cannot differentiate between a cyber event versus a threat, I'm pretty sure you're not adding value. Trust me, we are killing the taxonomy. Again, if I may take another example, right? If you go to any scientist and if you ask them about what's the definition of mass and velocity, I'm pretty sure throughout the globe, you'll get the same definition. But unfortunately, in cyberspace, within the same town, same street, if you talk to two cyber folks, like what is threat, what is vulnerability, I'm pretty sure you will get 10 different definitions. That's a pain. I'm not trying to teach anything. Rather, that's a pain, right? Why there is a difference, right? Why there is a difference? And again, as the same example, right? When someone is trying to exploit your network versus someone already exfiltrated the data from your network, both are two different incidents. If you cannot have two different response plan, and if you treat both, then I'm pretty sure like it's a disaster. And it's all boiled down to lack of understanding on the basics. That's my view on the cyberspace.
All right. Thank you so much for that amazing advice. I hope it really helps all those folks listening to this. I think with that, we come to the end of this episode. So thank you so much, Prince, for taking time to be the guest here at this podcast. I really appreciate the insights that you shared. I could resonate with a lot of what you were sharing. So thanks a lot.
Thank you. Hope it was useful for others as well. Thank you so much.
That was it for today, listeners. I hope you enjoyed learning about Ponce's journey. In case you want to reach out to him, you can find him on Twitter by the handle @MudivaiPonce. Stay tuned for our next guest. Until then, stay safe and take care.